To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of God I lay on your hearts today comes from the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, beginning there in the first verse. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed. In the past, I've been able to go down and visit my in-laws, my wife's parents, who are snowbirds and have a house in Phoenix, Arizona. If you've ever been to Phoenix, it's a really an interesting town. It's a huge retirement place. In fact, there are some communities there that you cannot buy or own a house if you're under 55. Some entire communities are like that. So what happens is you get communities that are on the upper end of the aged scale in life. When we go visit down there, her parents, it's nice. We go down in February, down there where it's nice and warm, the sun is always shining. One of their favorite things to do was to go to estate sales. And they had estate sales quite often. As you can imagine, these communities had quite a bit of turnover. People would die. And then the children would come in and hold an auction, have an estate sale. I remember going to several of these with my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. And one thing that struck me was that almost to the fault, the same thing happened. You'd go to these places, these houses, where these professional auctioneers would come in and sell things. Right out in front of the yard, plunked down on the lawn, was a great big dumpster. Not one of them small kind, one of them big kinds. And I used to think, and you know, it'd be half full of stuff, and you'd be going in there to see the good stuff that's for sale, and all the rest of the stuff would be in the dumpster. So I think to myself, is that the way it's going to be when I die? My kids are going to plunk a great big dumpster, probably right down on the lawn, get rid of the stuff that I valued for some reason that they don't want. Well, the text for today is all about placing the right value on the right things in our spiritual lives. And what I'd encourage you to do is today, before you die, before the Lord decides to take you to your heavenly home, make sure you have that dumpster plunked down in front of your spiritual house and throw in there the stuff that we don't need. That's what these verses are all about. Value the right inheritance. Let go of the law. Get rid of that. Trust in the gospel. Trust in grace. That's our real treasure. Treasure God's grace and receive it by faith. So the Apostle Paul here is writing to the Christians in Rome. And Rome had a large population of Jewish Christians, people who had been raised as good, Orthodox Jews, and to look back on their heritage, to look back to the father of the Jewish nation, Abraham, and to think, and they were actually taught this, they still are to this day, that if you are a descendant of Abraham, you are part of God's chosen people, and therefore heaven is yours. Jesus once told the Pharisees, don't begin to say that you are children of Abraham. He said, God is able to raise up from these stones children to Abraham. That's not where we place the value on in life. It's, you know, and where does that apply to you and to me? Because certainly we are not descendants of the Jews. Not that I know of. Maybe you have some Jewish blood in you. I don't think I do. We could. It's pretty diluted down through the centuries. Do I? Well, it doesn't matter, see, because it doesn't. That's not what guarantees heaven for you and for me. Being children of the promise, that's what guarantees heaven. So how does that apply to us? Since, you know, we don't claim to have Jewish lineage in our background. So how does that apply? How can I get rid of the law? Well, the fact is, Phariseeism crops up in each one of our hearts. And it's as simple as this. Looking at other people thinking, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that. Just like the Pharisee and the publican. And all of us do that. All of us can find ourselves relying on all the wrong reasons for why we're going to heaven. Has nothing to do with going to church every Sunday. Has nothing to do with being born in a particular family. Has nothing to do with being good or doing the right thing, thinking or saying the right thing. Because all of our inheritance of heaven itself has been given to us as a free gift. So let's let go of the law. And that's what the apostle is encouraging the Christians in Rome and us to do. And he holds out as an example Abraham. Abraham, whom we read about in our Old Testament reading today. What a guy. What an example of someone who did the right thing. The Lord speaks to him, says, Abraham, get up, go. I'm not going to tell you where we're going yet, but I want you to move. And Abraham does, 75 years old, pulls up roots from his family home and follows the Lord's word. Follows his command, is obedient to the Lord, and does what the Lord wants him to do. And in fact, the Jews looked up to Abraham as someone who, if you want to have a good example of how to live a good life, look at Abraham. Look how he lived. He walked blameless before the Lord. Of course, we know in the rest of Scripture that you can't look too close because there was a lot of things that Abraham did wrong. And I believe the Scriptures record that so that you and I can realize that he was a sinner just like us. And what saved him was his faith. Faith that you possess and I possess. That gift that God gives us that clings to his word. How do we know these things are true? How do we know the Apostle Paul is telling those Christians there in Rome, and he's telling us today and Christians of all time, let go of the little Pharisee in your heart. Don't begin to think that the things you think, say, and do have anything to do whatsoever with your salvation. Don't begin to think that your lineage is somehow going to save you. Because he looks at Abraham and says, you know, if there was ever anyone who could be saved by his works, look at Abraham. Does he have something to boast about according to the flesh? According to as a human being, does he have something to boast about? They would all say, oh yes, he was righteous. Paul makes it clear, not before God. Not before God. There's no human being in the world who can hold his head up and say, Lord, look what I've done. We all have to hang our head in shame. We all have to agree with the Apostle Paul who says, the good that I would, I do not do. The evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am. That's what the law does to it. It convicts us of our sins. It doesn't make us, using the law, if we begin to think that by using the law we can convince God we're pretty good people, then we're only kidding ourselves. We can't boast before the Lord. So let's let go of that stuff. Let's, every day in our lives, it's going to be a fight, I know. But every day in our lives we have to let go of the things we think, or our sinful flesh wants us to think, that count towards our points, merit points with God. There's nothing. In fact, Jesus once said that when it's all said and done, you just have to say, "Oh Lord, I've only done those things which you've commanded me to do. I'm altogether an unworthy servant." Really, that's the end of it. We sang in our hymn yesterday, "Rock of Ages," at the memorial service. "Nothing in my hand I bring, only to thy cross I cling. Simply to thy cross I cling." We let go of the law. Let's throw that and all those things in that big dumpster where it belongs. But let's keep the valuable stuff, which is God's grace. Let's treasure the undeserved love and kindness, the declaration of the gospel in our lives. Verse 3, Abraham believed God, it says. He believed him. He had faith in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You believe God. You've been given the gift of faith. And that faith, that's the it of verse 3, that is accounted to you for righteousness. God requires righteousness, perfect keeping of the holy law, perfect. And your faith is what accounts to God for righteousness, because your faith believes in the righteousness of your Savior Jesus, the one who endured all the suffering that we're so concentrating on this Lenten season, all the ridicule of the soldiers and the mocking and the scourging and the beatings and the crown of thorns pressed into his head, being deserted by all his disciples and everyone, taking all of that, and even finally God's wrath over and against your sins and mine, eternal hellfire for every single sin ever committed. That's the weight that our Savior took on his shoulders when he finally went to the cross and died as your substitute and mine, indeed the world's. God now uses his sacrifice to credit you with the righteousness of Christ. In place of your sinful life, God declares that your life is now the life of Christ, his sinless Son. He bore them all, and with them, with his death on the cross, your sins were buried. Now by faith, you believe that, and you cling to that message. That's what we place value in here in this life. Looking again and again to God's mercy and kindness, we treasure God's grace. Verse 13 says, "Not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." And 16, "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed." Talk about 100% gospel passage. You know, this is right there with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 16 again, "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace." It is a faith, faith which God gives you, so it's not from me, it's not from you, "that it might be according to grace, not anyone else's but the Lord's, undeserved love and mercy, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed," so that you and I can be absolutely sure, so we can have that rock-solid Christian hope of the truth of the gospel, that God has done these things and it's accomplished fact, that the most valued treasure we have in our lives is his powerful word, and that reminder every time of his declaration that gives us the forgiveness of sins and strengthens our faith. It just so empowers each one of us then to get up every day and to fight the good fight of against the sinful side of our flesh or the temptations in the world around us, even to stand the temptations and to withstand the temptations of the devil himself. Should that happen, God promises you the gospel message which he has worked faith in your life, in your heart, will continue to shield you from even that. That's why we treasure the grace of God. Value that inheritance above all. Keep those things in your spiritual house as the most valued possession, the word, the gospel, as it's found in the Word, as it's found in the sacraments. It's God's gift to you. The last verse says, God, who I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. We are the children of Abraham. It's not those who are physically descended. That's not the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham are all those who have the promise and faith in the promise. That makes you a child of Abraham. So each one of us can look to Abraham and say, we can even refer to him as Father Abraham as we do so with childlike faith in our hearts during vacation Bible school when we sing our song, Father Abraham had many sons, right? That's all because of what of the promise of God's grace and his mercy to us. We receive that by faith because God gives life. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Well, what did God call into existence even though it didn't exist? Well, of course, creation. Go back to Genesis 1 and 2. But how about your faith? How about you being alive? Isn't that another creation of God, a miracle? Doesn't you having faith, the fact that you're a Christian today, really fit under this verse? God, who gives life to the dead. I certainly was dead in my trespasses and sins, and so were you. But God gave us life. God gave us that turnaround call from his Holy Spirit who worked through his word, gave you faith to believe in him, turned you 180 degrees from the path you were taking, that broad and easy way to hell, turned you completely around so that you're now on that narrow and difficult path to heaven that few find. But you have found it because of God's grace and kindness towards you. And our faith receives that message. Indeed, our faith depends on that gospel message. Paul wrote, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Same God who said, "Let there be light" in creation and used his almighty power to do that, did the same thing to your heart. Called you out of darkness, enlightened you with his Holy Spirit, so that his light now shines in your heart and life and will always be there. The Lord caused this light, a miracle, to occur in you. Truly, it's our most valued possession. So let's value the right inheritance in our lives. Let's let go of that law. Let's treasure the grace of God. And we'll always receive it by faith because that's the way he set it up. Make sure to park that dumpster right next to your heart. Many people today are still placing value on their works when it should really be thrown into the spiritual dumpster. We place our value on God's undeserved love and kindness. We depend on it. And he's promised to always be with us, to be with us through his powerful word, to be at our sides all through our lives long. Finally, we'll be able to celebrate with all of those who have gone before, either on the day of our death, or on the day that the Lord takes us all to himself in heaven, that great day of judgment. In the meantime, we know where our true values lie. It's in his word. It's in his grace. For Jesus' sake, amen.